Today I have the pleasure and honor of receiving Vance Bergeron. Vance is a holder of a PhD in chemical engineering from the University of Berkeley, California. He is currently research director at the Laboratory of Physics at the ENS in Lyon. His research focuses on developing solutions to improve the quality of life of paralyzed people through daily physical activity. He's also the recipient of a CNRS Medal of Innovation, awarded in 2019 for the outstanding quality of his work. Moreover, he is the holder of more than 50 patents and the founder of the startup company Circles. Furthermore, he is the founder of the Association ANS and of Adapted Gym for Disabled People. Good morning, Vance. Thank you very much for joining us today.
It is a great pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to responding to all of your questions.
Well, thank you. So am I. So first of all, how have you been? I know we're living through very difficult times with the pandemic. So how are you today?
I'm fine. It's been difficult. I'm always worried because I am a fragile individual now after my accident. Because when you're tetraplegic, you always have to worry about your lungs and your breathing. And if I ever do get the COVID, it would be serious. And so I'm always worried. I'm a bit stressed. So I get tested often. And so far, so good.
Excellent. Well, it's a good reminder for all of us that we all need to be very careful and that a lot of people are more vulnerable than they seem, actually. Okay. First of all, I'd like to ask you about your work, actually, about science in general and your field. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, it's a bit complicated because I started out as a chemical engineer and ended up being a physicist. Mm-hmm. And now I'm working in neural rehabilitation. So I think one thing that's interesting throughout my career is I've been able to change. And I think that's probably the most interesting thing that I'd like to communicate is because when you're in science and you have a basic knowledge, you can do many, many things. And I think often people think that when you do a PhD, for example, that you're stuck with that subject for the rest of your life. And that's not true. You can actually do many things in your life. I started out working as a chemical engineer in Rumpelang, a chemical company. I was a scientific researcher, young. I ended up joining the CNRS, the state laboratories here in France, in 2001. I worked in an area called soft matter physics, which is really the physics of every day. I would work with toothpaste. Oh. So soft matter is matter that is not really solid, not really liquid. It's in between. So it's like mud. It has characteristics of a solid and it has characteristics of a liquid. So very interesting physics. I had an accident riding my bike, which I love to do before and still continue as a handicap. Was run over by a car. Unfortunately, that left me tetraplegic and I wasn't able to do the type of work that I was doing before. But I was able to come back to work. And when I did, I changed my subject to neural re-education, sort of to help myself and to help others. And I find that it's a fascinating field. It's a field that is new, it's growing with artificial intelligence, with robotics, all these things are very exciting. And they're a piece of my life now. And I'm able to play and to help people at the same time.
Would you say that your accident changed your perspectives on life?
It did. I think the most important perspective was I was blind to the handicap. I don't feel that guilty of that blindness because it wasn't part of my life. But now I'm much more aware of the obstacles that handicapped people, particularly people in wheelchairs, have to go through. And that made me a new awareness. I'm more empathetic to the people who are in these situations. At the same time, it doesn't make me sad. It's a new challenge. And I like to try to motivate people who are in our situation, handicap situation, that it's just a difference that can be overcome through a challenge and through new adventures. It's a new adventure.
So it's a positive thing, would you?
I view it as a positive thing. I'm a very optimistic individual. I like to look at life as something to be lived, and the handicap is just a constraint. I think we're all handicapped in some sense, in some way or other, and addressing that is important, and addressing that in a very positive way for me is important.
And through your work, you are dealing with very topical issues. You mentioned neuroscience. So would you say that your work will have implications or impact, you know, for the future?
I certainly hope so. I mean, that is the objective. And not only for the future, but for the present. I'm very practical. I was born and raised in the United States. Now I've been in France for 25 years. But I'm very practical, and the work that I'm doing, I do hope it does have very positive effects in the future. But what we did is we opened up a sports room, which allows people who are motor handicapped to take advantage of the current technology. What I noticed when I started looking into the neural reeducation was the gap between what we're doing in the laboratory and what is available to the people who are in the handicapped situation. And so we and our team are trying to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. It's called transversal research. So I'm no longer an expert as I was before. I'm sort of a catalyst. That means that I help make the transition between the laboratory bench to the bedside, to the patient. And so that's a very important element of what we're doing. And the sports room now has been, it's celebrated its 2-year anniversary 2 days ago, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you say that this room, that this gym is a sort of experimental ground thanks to which you can practice your research?
Absolutely, it serves that purpose too. And that's what's very convenient and very exciting about it. We're doing two things at the same time. We're providing a place for people, the general public who have handicap, motor handicap, a place to come, to socialize, which is very important, to improve their health, but at the same time, experiment on what works best. We're constantly in a phase of improvement. We have organized it in such a way that we have partners here at the École Normale Supérieure, in the engineering and the sciences, so that we can have the best of the best helping us to solve the problems, the technical problems. We also have a partner with a hospital, the Hospice Civil de Lyon, which is the hospital center, the public hospital here in Lyon. And they're there to help us, guide us to make sure that we do it correctly, that we abide by the ethical standards that are required when you're working with patients.
Was it a lot of work, you know, to convince partners, to find partners? Did it take a lot of time?
It's a very good question, and the answer is no. The response has been spectacular. I'm not shy. That's part of my American personality, I think. And so I've called all of the experts in the world, and every time I have and explained my situation, they have responded positively. So our effort has become an international effort because of that. All of the scientific people that I've talked to who are the experts in the field have come, have given talks, have offered their help. The hospital here in Lyon locally, very enthusiastic. They're helping us open a new second sports room.
Wow.
So here in Lyon, we'll have two. It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
The other things that we're doing is we're expanding this, and we're placing, we're working with different cities in France right now, maybe internationally in the future, to have sports rooms just dispersed throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you are spearheading a movement, that you are, you know, the first of a general movement towards inclusivity through daily physical activity? Or would you say that there were people before you, predecessors, who did that?
Well, there's definitely predecessors, and we're always standing on the shoulders of these people. But at the same time, I'm a researcher, and it's my job to spearhead. So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it now in this area. But clearly, there are other people that have done this before us and who are now my collaborators. And it's really thanks that I have that to allow us to accelerate and to go as fast as we have gone. We started only 5 years ago, and we're now up and going. So without that help from the people in the past, we wouldn't be where we are today. And then, yes, I plan to take this to new heights. Yes.
Oh, well, we hope you the best. You have our best wishes with that. I heard that you're quite a sportsman yourself. Could you tell us more about, you know, your...
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. I used to ride my bike 7,000 kilometers a year. So I would be considered not a professional, but a semi-professional, because I would take part in different races and whatnot, but not on a professional, real professional level. However, after the handicap, I was able to continue to compete in bicycling. We developed a system using electrical stimulation that uses electrodes that just tape to your legs, on the muscles of your legs. They excite the nerves in your legs, which causes the muscles to contract. And you can do that in such a way on a tricycle, because I'm not stable on a bicycle, but on a tricycle, I can lay down in my tricycle and I can use the electrical stimulation to stimulate my muscles, to contract them, and to ride my bike again. So what I was able to do in 2016 was to participate in the very first cyclothon, which was a sort of an Olympics, but with technology. So it's not like the Paralympics. Individuals who compete are considered as pilots because they pilot different machines, such as a velo, a bicycle, or an exoskeleton, which is a robot that you wear, basically, to help you, and they race with their robot. And the next one is coming. And November 13th and 14th, it will be broadcast on the internet. So everyone will be able to Google Cyclothon 2020 and watch this. It's spectacular, because what you see is the state of the art in cybernautics and this helping people who are handicapped use machines to improve their daily lives and mobility.
And your room, your sports room, is state of the art as well. I had the opportunity of seeing all the equipment, and I must say you've done an amazing job, you know, at funding it and making it, making, you know, people come and making people invest in this room. And this room is therapeutic as well. Since you mentioned electrostimulation, could you develop perhaps in the therapeutic dimension of sports?
Very good. That's very important. Mm-hmm. One of the most therapeutic things that we do is we build muscle that not is muscle to make us pretty. It's muscle to protect us. Sitting in a wheelchair, there is often problems with pressure sores. Now, pressure sores come from the fact that we do not have enough muscle to protect ourselves. That means that the bone will be pushing directly against the skin, and that can create a sore, a pressure sore, that can be deadly. It can be infected, and it can kill people. If not deadly, it's costly to repair. So there's high costs, health costs. But by doing the electrostimulation on the glutes, which is the buttocks yes. area, you can develop a muscle, a thick muscle that protects you. And so when you're sitting in your chair, you're protected from pressure sores. Other benefits are cardiovascular. When you're in a wheelchair, you don't get to move much. And so when you're in the sports room, we've developed all different types of movement devices that move that help increase our cardiovascular system. So those are the two big therapeutic things that we there are other smaller advantages, but those are the big two.
Did you get feedback from people who are using, who are coming to the gym about perhaps their self-image or the way they perceive their physical image, their body?
We have. That's a great question, because every year we sponsor an outdoor activity called the Lyon Cyber Days. And that is an activity where people, we expose to the general public what we're doing. The bicycles, they're like I talked about earlier, our electrostimulation equipment, we put off into the park on September so that the general public can see that. And then you can find some of this on the internet, Google, Lyon Cyber Days. And you can find one Lyon Cyber Days YouTube clip that is a reaction from the different people who adhere to our sports room. It's an interview. It's in French, but it's well done. And what we find is the psychological and the social interactions that these people get in the room is extremely important. One of the questions that we had was, why not just open up a gym in the corner of a basic gymnasium that already exists for non-handicapped people? And the answer is no. The answer is no, because there is a communication that takes place in an arena like what we've created, an ecosystem that people can talk openly, candidly to each other, so that they can express things that they would not be able to express in another environment. And so not only do we get positive feedback from the sports activity, we get positive feedback from the social interactions that people have in the room.
I definitely agree with you, and I think that this room provides a safe space for handicapped people, because if you had, you know, put it in the corner of a normal gym, it would not have had the same effect at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that handicapped people need their own space, and it is very very important to respect that.
Thank you.
How would you connect or articulate the notions of sport and citizenship, since we've mentioned the crucial role of your room for handicapped people? Would you say that through sport, people suffering from a handicap can be more visible, perhaps, or gain more confidence as citizens, human beings, part of a society?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in all of those aspects. I think that sports and citizen and sports, what it plays in our culture, is general, and I think that sport, it has so many aspects of communication, people communicating with each other, but also people allowing themselves to dip past their limits, and I know when I was before I was handicapped, that's what I got out of sport. And now that I'm handicapped, it's even more important, because our image, when we look in the mirror, when I look in the mirror today, I see a different person, and I want to be proud of that person. And by doing the different sports, I see my body change. I see, as I did before too, it's positive change, and that positive change motivates me. And so I think there's this image of oneself that helps with the sport, but also you feel better. You're just conditioned better. You get up earlier in the morning.
It's healthy,
and you feel it directly. So it's I agree. Yeah.
And lastly, I'd like to open our conversation to the notions of diversity and inclusivity. An acknowledged researcher, you have a status, and would you say that your disability is a challenge or an obstacle? How do you feel about that?
That's very funny. In some ways, I feel that without the the accident and the handicap, I wouldn't be where I was today. It's actually opened doors to me. I was a successful researcher before. I would not be at the École Normale Supérieure and in the CNRS if I wasn't. But the handicap has not prevented me from advancing. Mm-hmm. It's actually opened new doors. As I said before, I look at things as a challenge. And once I became handicapped, I had a new challenge. I was in a unique situation because I was a scientist and I was working with professional scientists and professional hospital doctors. And I just saw this challenge and I jumped into it. There was a big need, and the handicapped has helped me with my learning new things, mm-hmm. but also giving me subjects to do my research that I believe have a higher ethical value than I did before. So I feel I'm more proud of my research because I know my research is doing something that's going to help people directly today and tomorrow.
That's amazing, and it's a very positive thing that you are telling us today. But I would just like to conclude on asking you what you think about the perception of disability, perhaps in higher education and more broadly in France. What do you think are the challenges that are awaiting us?
Well, I think disability is a big arena. Mm-hmm. I can only speak to motor handicap because I'm not enough experienced in the different disabilities that people undertake. For example, psychological disabilities, I'm not an expert on or anything. However, what I can say is that in the motor handicapped area, we have a lot of work to do for accessibility. Two things. One, people often realize is the wheelchair and the road. But what I find is every restaurant that I go to, I cannot put my wheelchair up under the table. It says it's handicapped accessible. Mm. Well, yes, that means I can go through the door, I can get in, and there may be a handicapped toilet, but they haven't thought about the chair, the sitting at the table. You can't get your chair underneath the table. So there's many small things like that that if they think that the people need to continue to challenge society, challenge our everyday activities, and the simple things like getting up in front of a table at a restaurant is an example. And we could go through lots of those. But that's the job that we have to do today, and it's one of the reasons that we have to be vocal and we have to speak out and communicate. It's about communication, because what I find is after you communicate, people realize they just don't realize. You should not be angry at them. It's just that they don't realize. And once we communicate, and this is part of what we're doing today, which I'm very happy to be able to share with you, we're able to make change.
Well, thank you, and I was glad to be able to make change with you today. Thank you again. It was an absolute pleasure.
Great. Thank you very much.